Hari Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahana Viryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhi Tamastama Vivishavahai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay. Okay, another version has, okay, women are criticized as barren if they do not have children. Another version has guna prasava, the qualities of the father will be born in the offspring through chaste women. Right, so you discuss that as that's what you're looking at. So qualified husband, qualified wife, then you're going to get qualified children. Right, so both aspects have to be there. Now you can look at it focusing on one side or focusing on the other. Mm-hmm. But both of them are valid, right? So now, so let there be good offspring from you. So that's the point, is there should be good offspring. Mm-hmm. Right? Means he is a qualified man, so there should be good offspring. So the chastity is there, so that part has been proven. Yes. The relationship is strong, right? Mm-hmm. But now, this next part, enter the leaf hut and do what you desire. Right? So it means whatever needs to be done to generate children, let that happen. Okay? But now here comes, now this is the point that's there. No, this cannot be accomplished by a thin soiled body like this in such a leaf hut with such clothing. You know, in other words, the quality of children that you want then is not going to happen in this situation because it's not going to generate enough, how you say, intensity or involvement to create that kind of child. Does that make sense? It means, let us say, just take a real typical cliche. The kid that's conceived in the back seat of the car generally tends to be more of a street kid that doesn't follow authority, has no respect for anybody. You know, generally ends up in the delinquent home, gets shot by the time he's, you know, 19, you know, like that. You understand? So the point of what she's making is that there's not enough, because you want to create something great, so you also have to have a situation that matches. Does that make sense? Now we're getting into some subtleties here, like that. Good as the closer group, and the closer group. You know, I guarantee the morning group would love to hear this stuff. Okay. Please make arrangements without violating the methods mentioned in scriptures written by Vatsyayana. So he's saying is that, so whatever has to be done, do it, but it should be according to Shastra. Otherwise, how is it going to mean the mortal goodness? How is it going to be connected to the Lord? Right? And so this is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So then why should he bring it up if it's not a valid scripture? Right? Prabhupada mentions the Kama Sutra is for the purpose of having good children. Mm-hmm. Right? But people pick and choose what they want out of it. I think there's, I can't remember how many chapters there are. But it's a huge amount of chapters and people pick two or three. And then they think Kama Sutra is just that. Mm-hmm. Kama Sutra gets into what things you should be getting at what time of year to store in your house, you know, for cooking and for that. And how it should be done, what you should be planting in your garden. Right? Yeah. So how the women in the house interact with each other. Like that. That's the whole point, is you have this whole big thing that you only take.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? That's the whole point. So everyone thinks Kama Sutra is just, you know, crazy, thing about wild sex. But no, it's about how to produce qualified children. And all that wild stuff that everyone thinks the Kama Sutra is about, Vatsyayana says you shouldn't use this stuff. But he mentions it because it's just like, why is there, for the person on the mode of ignorance, why is there a ritual showing how to, you know, kill a goat on, you know, at midnight, on a dark moon night, you know, and these things? Yeah. Because they're going to do it anyway. Yeah. So you ritualize, you regulate. So therefore, they give things that people aren't supposed to do because they're going to do them anyway. You know, at least then they have faith in Shastra. But it directly mentions this is not to be done. Does that make sense? So it's way beyond, when Prabhupada said it's for having good children, it is. Because he says, don't use all these crazy things because you won't get proper children. Right? Unless you use the standard method, then you're going to end up, it increases the vata, and that makes kids crazy and bad health and all kinds of wild stuff. Like that. So people just think, you know, just as long as a conception happens, it's good. But she's pointing out here, please make arrangements without violating the methods mentioned in scriptures written by Vatsyayana. Right? One of the first things he's talking about when you're putting together men is equality. You know, that they have equal nature. You know? So he doesn't say anything different than the others do. He just gets into technical detail. You know, I'm just saying, it's just like Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's telling, okay, what menu was there that, you know, Advaitacharya cooked for Lord Chaitanya? Right? Does it tell the recipe?
No.
No, recipe's somewhere else. In a scripture that's about cooking, that's there. But you have to know what the menu is. So in other words, what Bhagavatam talks about and what Vatsyayana talks about aren't going to be any different. It's just the Vatsyayana will get into technical detail that doesn't need to be gotten into here. This is about how to understand the clear focus and that kind of thing. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's it. Hare Krishna. Is that yeah. Because otherwise, it's probably one of the more misunderstood literatures. Because generally it's looked at how to improve the sense gratification. But it's not. It's how to improve the quality of the child.
Right?
Yeah, big difference. You know, it's just like this. Let us say, you know, you had the big Italian family, right, you know, and they're all going to come together for dinner, right, you know, and so the mother, grandmother's cooking, right? So, now, is it just specifically about the taste, or it's about the experience that the whole family, the interaction, the niceness? So that's the whole thing. People think Kama Sutra is just about the taste. And so that's all that, but it's actually about how the whole thing works together. The understanding should come from yourself, right? Because he has to apply it. It means the shastra is there, but it's according to the time, place, and circumstance, right? So the time, we understand, is okay, there's appropriate time for the conception of the children. The place, now that's what she's mentioning, this place is not exactly ideal. And the patra, right, means the situation, herself, the situation she's in, this is not ideal. This is not going to work, as we'll see. Does that make sense? So she's pointing out, so therefore you should work this out, right? The understanding has come from yourself, since you alone know the methods of lovemaking. Right? Because the point of lovemaking is not sense gratification, the point of lovemaking is conception of a proper child. You know what I'm saying? Just like you eat. Why do we eat? It's supposed to be to nourish the body. Right? But it doesn't mean the taste isn't proper. You put together the proper combinations that are actually good for health, they actually taste better. Is that something? Yeah. Expertly prepare unguents, foods, and drinks which stimulate desire, made from suitable materials by which my body, agitated by the desire for union, will be capable of giving enjoyment. right? Because you have to, it means we're going to, yeah. So the point is that conception is based on combination of fluids. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're combining fluids. But if there are no fluids, what's to combine? So that's her point. So that's why Kama Sutra is there. How to generate enough fluid of good quality that you get conception. You understand? It's science. People just, they get distracted by the secondary. The primary is to do this. So her point is how she looks now, how is he going to be attracted? Because she's serving him in this form as him doing his meditation. But if you're going to produce children, then she has to look the part. Because otherwise, if not, how is he, one, going to be enthusiastic? If he's not enthusiastic, she's not going to be enthusiastic. So that means there's not going to be enough fluid produced. And if there's not enough fluid, there will not be conception. That makes sense. So that's the basic principle. So that's what she's talking about. That's what Kama Sutra describes. That makes sense. So that's why he says, you alone know the methods of lovemaking. The common man, the guy who's out there just totally into gross sense gratitude, there's a good chance he does not know. He doesn't know. You know what I'm saying? So it's just, you know, just as a, an example, you know, we somehow know to keep going back to our Casanova here. Right? So Casanova, is he famous just for having sex? Or about all the romantic aspects around it that the girls become very inspired. You understand? That's the point. So you have to know that whole thing. Because otherwise, as far as sex goes, I think, can't remember, who's that? Well, I think Laurence Olivier? Was he the guy on the white horse in the sands of Arabia and all that? Don't know. He was, you know, a famous actor in his day. Like that. But he's quoted as saying he's had sex like 12,000 times. And that was when they had the interview.
Yes.
But he's not famous for being a ladies' man. He just knows how to have sex. So that's not what Kama Sutra, that's not the method. You alone know the methods of lovemaking. That's just sex. So lovemaking means you have all these other elements.
This is the origin of romance.
Romance, yes, because the whole point is romance generates the enthusiasm, the bringing together, the focus. You know what I'm saying? If it's just sex, the wife could be thinking about what she's going to, you know, be buying tomorrow at the mall. You know what I'm saying? But when there's romance, then it's, they make a connection personally. That connection is going to make a child who is very solid. Right? Otherwise, then he's thinking about the sense gratification. She's thinking about, you know, the nice boot she's going to buy tomorrow down at the mall. So what does that make for a kid? A lusty guy that just has to go out and buy stuff. That's the reality. That's not the methods of lovemaking. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is that the science is very there, is there. So expertly prepare unguents, foods and drinks which stimulate desire. Right? The nice things, it creates that interaction. You say, oh, this is all Maya. But then if we're talking about Maya, one, why are we here in the first place? We're so worried about Maya. Why are we in the material world? Right? And two, if we're worried about Maya, then why is there a concept of, you know, family life and household life and all this kind of thing, you know? Then the perfection would be Tapaloka. Right? Like that. So the point is, the sense we're dealing with is, this is the science. Just like what your science of cooking. Do you not want good ingredients, good situation, you know, good techniques, proper use of everything? You know, a full amount of all the different things. All the variety of spices and all that. And then it comes together into a very nice preparation. So that's what it's talking about. You know? does that make sense? Yeah.
I'm just thinking how far we would have gotten if this is all in the morning. Right?
Yes. I'm thinking that here, this idea of time, place, and circumstances presented in a very cultural way, but because our mind is very dull or stiff,
yes,
we can't really, this is like big revelation. Wow, this is, you know, there's a sense gratification, and you don't have to be, you know, to feel guilty about it and this and that, and yeah, it's all in Bhagavatam. So this is like really
Bhagavatam. Yeah, and the, it's not caught.
No, not at all.
Yeah, yeah. Like that. So that's the whole, because generally it's just, you know, some technical philosophy. And but this is an area that, you know, everybody's read. Easily everybody's heard it at least once, if not 3-4 times in Bhagavatam class. You know, because, you know, it's, most temples just go, you know, are going, they go through and then they get back, they start over again and they start over again, and you know, so it's, and then if you travel around, every temple is, you know, in a different place, so, you know. Yeah. Because enjoyment means that it's just like we're taking prasad. It's not that there shouldn't be a pleasant environment. You have like, what's the conversation for prasad, at prasad?
Light.
Light. Something light, pleasant. You don't get into politics. You don't get into all these different things. Otherwise, it throws the atmosphere off. Right? So that creates a pleasant like that. So the point is the senses being engaged is not the problem. It's that the senses aren't connected to Krishna. That's the problem. So why is it one wants to conceive a child? So that there'll be the facility to train them in Krishna consciousness. The Prabhupada's already talking about that the child in the Vedic system has already been imbued with spiritual acumen from the time of conception. Why is that? Because they know what they're doing. Right? So it's a science. Does that make sense? Like, just as an example, even the level of what we've talked now, like that, generally this itself would be a whole thing of everybody getting all freaky and all that, and, you know, their minds going crazy and that. We're just discussing it as the science. You understand? So that means Kardama Muni knows this, she knows this. The Vedic cult, they know these things, but it's not about they get into all this distracted stuff. Yes.
However, it appears from the story that they got distracted because they enjoyed for a long, long time.
But they're from that side, that's what they do. Do you know what I'm saying? They have the piety so then they can go on for a long time. You know, they're talking about up to Indra's planet, you can be interactive in union for like 3 days straight. So that's a bit longer than around here. So they're from a few planetary systems above. But the point is it's still just the amount. So the thing is they're doing everything properly. It produces the children. They did get the children. And they did get qualified children. Right? But the thing is, what Bhagavatam's pointing out, having done all that perfectly, still, Devahuti will point out that she didn't catch the spiritual aspect. But materially, you don't get better than this. You know? The principle is there. Anybody can follow it. Because the point is for his greatness and mystic power and her background, then a leaf hut isn't quite the ideal. You know, like that. But the point is whatever someone has, it's generated in a nice way. It's put together in a nice way. So, does that make sense? Yes.
I think the presentation from a renunciation point of view of Krishna consciousness made us feel guilty about anything. Like, if you eat 2 chapatis for lunch, it's like it's already like big sense for it.
Yeah, but where does that come from? It's not Hindu.
It's not Hindu at all.
It's Christian.
Yeah.
Because The Jews don't mind enjoying themselves. The Muslims don't mind enjoying themselves.
No.
So that only leaves one group from the Abrahamic group, that they're the ones that everybody's guilty about everything.
Right.
Because, in other words, you've lost the philosophy. You've lost that, you know, relationship with the Lord. You have that element of faith.
Yeah.
And that's what drives you on. But it's not necessarily enough to calm the mind in renunciation. And then when you make a thing, it's just like, are rabbis married? And they must be married, right? You can't be a brahmachari rabbi, right? You know, also, if you probably check, the Muslims, they're what are their priests called? The mullahs. They're married also. Like that. So being unmarried, that's just student life. You're supposed to be unmarried in student life. Otherwise, how do you focus? But once you've finished your education, you get married, and then you do. So they don't have a problem like that. So then the element of you know, nice interaction. But somehow or another, why, I don't know, the Christians at some point made the rule that everybody's just got to be celibate. You know, so you have the Immaculate Conception and all these different kinds of things. They just cannot accommodate. And so they're the ones that make it that anything to do with the senses is totally nonsense. So it comes from there. Does that make sense? Yeah, that's where it comes from. Because otherwise it doesn't come from anywhere else. You know, like that. The Orient, they don't have that problem. They have the celibates, but it's not the family. They don't have a problem. So basically it comes down to only Christians have the problem. And specifically the Christians, the Catholics. And the Catholics are the ones that define, you know, basically you could say Western European culture. Right? You know, it's its foundation. So then you get all that kind of stuff. And so that's the way it works. Yeah. Okay. I am pained by lust arising from seeing you. Now I am poor. Therefore, O Master, it is possible to create all this by your powers of yoga. Consider a house suitable for such pleasure. Right? Because now she's poor, meaning she doesn't have that interaction. Not poor means she doesn't have any money. Right? You know, she's not saying this, you know. Now I am poor, so you please, by your mystic power, you know, give me a whole array of credit cards, you know, like that. That's not her point. Srila Prabhupada explains how all-encompassing are the Vedic scriptures in his purport to verse 11. The Vedic literature is not only full of spiritual instruction, but are also instructive in how to prosecute material existence very nicely, with the ultimate aim of spiritual perfection. Right, so how to even materially work, the point is it's not that it's material means it's not connected to Krishna. Not that it's engaging the senses.
Yes.
Because what is our as the soul, what's our connection out to whatever is outside of us? In the spiritual or material world. What is our connection with our environment? With the body, through the senses. So in other words, connecting with our environment through the senses, and then if we're going to engage that environment, we're going to use the senses.
Yes.
I'm going to cook, I have to use my hands, I have to use my eyes, I have to use my ears.
Yes.
Right? It means all these different things. I use my nose, all these aspects. So I'm using the senses. So the problem's not the senses, the problem is if the senses aren't connected to Krishna. So when we say sense gratification, we mean engaging the senses not connected to Krishna. But we take it,
yes,
sense gratification means engaging the senses at all.
Yes.
So that's actually then comes down to that's the you know, the Mayavad. You know. So it's kind of like when the West does get spiritual, they become Mayavadis. Like that. That's the thing. There's no actual personal understanding. Right? So that's what the Vedas are doing. And then we're running after the West, trying to figure out how to prosecute material existence very nicely. You know, we're trying to learn from people who don't know what they're doing. You know, who is enjoying food in the West? You know? Right? Who does have nice clothes? Who does know how to wear nice clothes? Right? Who knows how to even enjoy a car? You have to know how to drive one really well to enjoy a car. Otherwise, you're just driving, or you're in anxiety, or you're just doing it. But the people who really know, they can relax and enjoy the car, what it can do and everything. So you have to have the... How many people know that? Yeah. How many people know how to actually get something out of their computer? Right? A few people know. But generally, they're called nerds. So in other words, someone who actually is expert in the material nature is considered weird. Because standard is nobody knows what they're doing, but they just feel like it. You know, so that's the whole. So that's the difficulty that comes, is that therefore we're going to those who don't know, and then claiming this will make our society great, when the Shastra's already given everything. Right? If it gives down to how to have intimate interaction with your wife, to have a child, then why isn't everything else won't be covered? You know? So it's like if it's, everything's there, one just has to know how to look for it. But as Prabhu pointed out, if we don't know what we're looking for, we don't know when we see it. Like that, because it is working in an environment of the Grihastha life, it's not going to be gross. It's going to be subtle. Because if you can't catch the subtlety, you won't be able to function in the environment. You know, forget romance if you don't know how to be subtle. Devahuti asked her husband, therefore, how to prepare herself for sex life according to the Vedic instructions. Sex life is especially meant for having good children. Right? That's its purpose. It's especially meant. It means it has side effects. You know, it's just... But the point is that's its main thing. It creates a closeness between the husband and wife. It creates, you know, inspiration. All these different things. But its main point is it generates children. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah.
It's interesting, in modern people think that the children actually are side effects.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of like, you know, right? How did that happen? It's kind of like, duh. You know, you put a can of beans into the pan and heat it up, and then you go, man, there's beans! You know, it's like, how did that happen? You know, it's like, and then we want to follow them. You know, they're going to give us some great idea on how to make things successful. Children are considered just a side effect. That's the mode of ignorance. Everything's reversed. So that thickness of the brain you talk about, that's the mode of ignorance. So we're used to things being in a reverse way, so when we see it the other way, sometimes we can't even understand it. So we just catch the word, and I apply it in my reversed way. That's the problem, is if it doesn't get through far enough, then it can create more trouble. Because then it's thought, I have scriptural backup to what I'm doing. Like that. You know. Like, what do you call it? I was reading in one of the books. It's talking, I think, on Samskar, right? Not our book, but someone else had put together. And they're talking about, you know, they have, I think, an appendix or something in there. They're all these, it's catching a few ideas that he said, but they're not putting it from the point of developing the interaction. You can see by how it's presented, the person who put the book together thinks this is a great idea and they really enjoy this. So when you read it, it actually leaves the whole thing of the samskar and the elevation and all that, the mode of goodness, and just goes off into their personal interest. You know? So that's a difficulty. So that's why it's it has to, it's put together by the great, these, you know, how you say, the acharyas. Because the common person gets too easily distracted. Okay. The circumstances for creating good children are mentioned in Kama Shastra, description which suitable arrangements are prescribed for factually glorious sex life. Right? Because glorious means you have a kid that has proper consciousness that you'll train in Krishna consciousness. Right? Like that. Everything needed is mentioned in the scripture. So here, glorious, as we mentioned, it produces quality children. So that's glorious. Right? Like that. Rather, oh, that's just attachment or this or that. That may be one's underlying motive to be involved. Just like, why are you suddenly inspired to, let's say, volunteer to help in the kitchen? Because you're really hungry. Right? Like that. But it doesn't mean that if you don't if you perform your duties nicely, it doesn't end up with a glorious, you know, result that's offered to Krishna. Right? So you can say your motive may not be the ideal, but it's not that what's being done is not ideal. But one has to be able to distinguish this. Otherwise, one can get very, very distracted and caught up, you know, because you're thinking, yes, this is what I've always wanted. Like that. So one has to be able to catch that. It's about this connection to Krishna.
Yes.
Right?
So now we need always someone to remind us how to connect with Krishna.
Yes, yes.
Especially when it is topics like this, means more passion or interest.
Yeah. Well, it's all levels because it means as we were discussing, most of the time when we discuss, we're discussing about the weakness in pranamaya.
Yes.
Right? Because that, without direction, one can get very distracted. Yes. Sense gratification generally is a topic that doesn't come up because most devotees, having that kind of Catholic viewpoint, just don't know how to process it.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Yes. I mean, so we're discussing here very simply. If it was in the morning, there'd be a lot more distraction. Yes. We tried to do this in the Bhagavatam class, it'd be really all over the place. You know, like that, because there's so many ideas. So that's the, yeah. And then, and it's also moksha. Means, point is liberation just means you're not in material consciousness. But the Mayavadis, they make a big deal out of it. You know, the smartest make a big deal out of Dharma. You know? Does that make sense? So that's the problem, is that balance. So the acharyas or the guru sadhu shastra, they give us the viewpoint on all four of these. And they only become perfect when they're connected to the fifth.
Yes.
Like that. When it's connected to devotional service, that's when it becomes perfect. Does that make sense? Everything needed is mentioned in the scriptures. What sort of house and decorations there should be. What sort of dress the wife should have. How she should be decorated with ointments, scents, and other attractive features, etc. All right, so it mentions these things, right? So that's the you know, it's not that it doesn't, because it's all part of the thing, right? The Western is how to get rid of the clothes as quickly as possible, right? They start at the front door, and then you see a trail of them to the bedroom, if you make it to the bedroom, right? But the Vedic is about the dressing, the eating, the conversation, the different things like that. Because that will create the environment. Like, it means if you, nowadays it's just that, you know, somebody sitting at the bar, they come, someone sits down, and you know, there's initially some, you know, they don't, like, you know, then somebody says, the guy says something clever, and then the lady, okay, these guys, and then within 1 minute, 2 minutes, then they're out and gone. You know? Like that. But if you go back in time, it was like everybody's there dressed up in the suits, going to the restaurant, the whole thing. And you know, it's you know what I'm saying? So there was much more the whole elaborate thing, because then the idea is it produces powerful children. Well, nowadays, you know, powerful children is not a common thing. Does that make sense? Yeah, just because it's not understood. You know what I'm saying? course, if someone has the karma, it will happen anyway. They'll somehow or another arrange it, the mood will happen, everything will be nice. But the point is, the Vedic is how to connect it to scriptures so it does progress. Suddenly says. Yeah. Okay. With these requisites fulfilled, right? So now here's the reason. So the husband will be attracted by a beauty, right? Because the whole idea is to create that attraction, right? And a favorable mental situation will be created, right? Because you're trying to create, that they're working together. Because if you're trying to create one entity, you have to have the two entities functioning as one.
Yes.
So you have to have that attraction. You have to have that. But if it's just he's thinking about himself, she's thinking about herself, then you don't get so good. So just like, what's his name? Kasyapa? No. Yeah, Kasyapa and Diti.
Yes.
She's thinking about herself, he's thinking about himself, and what do you get? Now, both of them are very attractive, and they did use a, leaf hut like that. They didn't worry about it, but that wasn't as austere. But the point is you got a child that was not interested in following things nicely. Right? So their idea is they should produce something that is. Right? In other words, the universe has to be filled with all variety of living entity, from very highly elevated to the very unqualified. So basically Devahuti and Kardama don't want to be the forefathers to those who are unqualified. Let the others do that. Yeah? Does that make sense? So, yeah. Okay. The mental situation at the time of sex life may then be transferred into the womb of the wife, and good children can come out of that pregnancy. Right? So that's the whole thing. You produce the right mental thing. So, in other words, should it be the femininity that's attracting? Because femininity will generate masculinity. There'll be a balance. But if it's just lust, then what are you going to get? You're going to get lust. But if it's the combination of masculine and feminine, then you get a child who has that balanced mentality. Does that make sense? Is everybody okay with this? We're not going too deep in this. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
This yes. Point of masculinity and femininity. It seems that it's always present in all life.
Everything is present. It's just a matter of what quality it is, what quality of feminine and masculine.
And this prevents lust and frustration and all this.
Yes. So that means it can be done, and everything is refined. Everything is there. Yes. It's just like before, is that you open the door for the lady. It's a consideration and everything like that. Not that she can't open the door for herself.
Of course.
But then you can do everything else yourself. You can take out the garbage yourself. Like that. So the whole point is. So the whole point is that these things, it's a consideration on where, who considers where and everything like that. So these are fine things. Let's say, if the guy is always, like, just taking here, just even in, if you go back in time, it's still used in very high level. If the guy is wearing a tuxedo, okay, how much variety can you have in a tuxedo? Right? And not much. Whatever's there is very subtle. The cut of the lapel, the particular material, what quality of the material it is, how you're matching, white on black or gray on black or black on black, these little subtle things. But does it catch attention? It catches attention, but not so much. It catches that looks good. But it's not like that's the exciting feature. Now, what do the women wear? If you have a black tie event, what are the women wearing? You understand? The gowns, the gloves, the this. It can be anything. The colors, there's no basic limit. You know what I'm saying? Basically, it's from your armpits to your ankles should be covered. You know, but colors, you know, design, everything else, that's up to you. So, what's it about? It's about the woman. So when you have the stableness of the man, he looks good. Right? But then it's the ladies look better. You know. So that's the whole thing, is that it's in consideration of bringing out. So that's where you want to bring it out. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like if you say the husband, he's a good provider, you know, creates a nice environment. You don't really say that about the wife. She's a good provider. You don't say that. You know what I'm saying? So everybody, according to nature, there's something there for them. So that's it. You want to bring out, what is the nature, how to bring that out to its fullest, so there's the best combination. Right? Here a special reference to Devahuti's bodily... Here is a special reference to Devahuti's bodily features, right? Because she's made that reference. Because she had become skinny, she feared that her body might have no attraction for Kardama. Therefore, if there's no attraction, he's not going to put in the effort. Therefore, as we mentioned before, then the proper volume of fluids will not be produced. So that's why she's attracted. Now, it's like this. Now, it'll go both ways. He's not going to put in the effort. She's not going to feel confident. She looks very attractive. She feels confident. Yes. And he feels inspired. Yes. You understand? It works very nicely. But it's not about the sense gratification. It's about generating that interaction. You understand? Yes. This is what will be me. Oh, see, yeah, no, we got to dress it. We got to do this. We got to... Yes. No, it's not about that.
Yes.
It's about to have to interact.
Yes.
You know, and then somebody will do this, and because they've missed the point, then things won't work out. You know, and then they say, well, he followed everything, it didn't work, and all that, and I don't know, this is all nonsense, and, you know, so complicated. No, because you missed the point. You know, I got totally into the pot, and totally into the this and that, and totally into that, and I missed the point of the cooking.
Yes.
And then I can't understand why it's not a great prep. I did everything according to what was said. But actually, no, you didn't do it. You caught a few elements of the secondary, but totally missed the primary. So that's generally what happens. So that's why in discussing these, we always have to be very careful that the primary is always understood. And that's what Prabhupada's talking about. But because we only know secondary, we think there's nothing here. As Prabhu pointed out, we read this, everybody's read this.
Yes.
You know? Now, if you think, I don't know if it's now, but it used to be back sometime before 70s and 80s, that if a boy and a girl were being lined up to be married,
yes,
they would spend time, they would sit, yes, and read these chapters of Bhagavata, and then talk and this and that, and, you know, that was the standard, you know.
I did that.
Yeah, okay, see? Yeah, but we don't catch this. And here, just to prove his point about the modern conditioning. And he did that, and he's French. And he missed it. So that means the rest of the world's guaranteed to miss it. You know, if anybody's going to catch it, it'll be the French, right? You know, but...
And we have a special group of French devotees training about this topic.
Yeah. Yeah, the travel. And the discussions will just be in French, right? Okay. Okay. She wanted to be instructed how to improve her bodily condition in order to attract her husband. Right? Because it's standard things. Men are attracted by certain things. Women are attracted by certain things. So that's what you're trying to do. Increase the masculinity, the femininity, so that you get conception. Right? Sexual intercourse in which the husband is attracted to the wife is sure to produce a male child. But sexual intercourse based on attraction of the wife for the husband may produce a girl. Right? Because the point is not why does that do? It's because if his attraction is greater, there's more masculine fluid. If her attraction is greater, there's more feminine fluid. So, whichever fluid is prominent, that's what produces that child, that boy or girl. But if there's not enough volume, you won't get in conception at all. It may be more masculine, you know, and less feminine, but if its volume's not enough, therefore there has to be that particular amount of intensity to generate enough volume. Is this what's saying?
In both.
Yeah, in both. There has to be both. Yeah. And that's attraction. Then there must be satisfaction. Because generally, if the girl is not satisfied, much of the time there won't be conception.
Yes.
You understand? So there has to be that. You know, so it's, you know, there's many things to look at. That is mentioned in the Ayurveda. When the passion of the woman is greater, there's a chance of a girl being born. When the passion of the man is greater, there's a possibility of a son. Devahuti wanted the passion of her husband to be increased by the arrangement mentioned in the Kama Shastra. Right? Because then it'll be in the mode of goodness. Otherwise, you increase by some other fashion, you get passion of ignorance, and so that's pretty useless. Right? She wanted him to instruct her in that way. And she also requested that he arrange for a suitable house because the hermitage in which Kardama Muni was living was very simple and completely in the mode of goodness. And there was less possibility of passion being aroused in his heart. Right? Because everything was just set up for doing meditation and puja and that. So she wanted it to be set up so there'll be more of that kind of relax in that mood of interaction and intimacy. Because this is, his house is set up not for interaction, it's set up for sadhana.
Yes.
So you need an environment. Like, there's probably no pillows. You know, nice covers on where you're going to sit and all this. It's probably just kusasans, oxman cups, cow dung floor, and that's it. You know, so that's her point there, is that it doesn't have the environment. It's not that, but when we can say, oh, so we have to create passion and ignorance. No, it's a matter of what things from Shastra. Then increase that, but because they're according to Shastra, then they don't create, you know, mundane passion and ignorance. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah.
So, not following Shastra is like animal life.
Sorry?
Not following Shastra is
like animal life. Yeah. But I mean, basically, usually it's as good as, or it's like.
Yes.
I mean, secondly, they're human beings, but the effect actually is that of an animal. That's the difficulty, is that it comes out as an animal. So if you don't follow scripture, then you are living animal life. Right? That's the thing. Devotional service is so powerful, the direct activities, that those themselves, if one has faith in it, commitment to them, that they will uplift you. But how much easier it'll be if you connect everything else.
Yes.
You know, so in other words, I'm doing devotional service, which is the highest aspect of human life, at the same time as everything else other than my direct sadhana is animal life. That's a pretty big gap. And that's why then there's all these difficulties in community and interaction and everything, because you're trying to take, most people are following animal life in detail. In principle, then they're devotees. But in detail, how they, you know, you go to someone's house, how are they going to serve prasad? Or deal? How are they going to sit you down?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Those kind of things. How are they going to make you comfortable? Are they going to, you know? So unless they've come from a background that is good at hosting, there's a good chance they don't know.
Yes.
You know, it's just like, you know, you come in, you knock on the door, you've been invited, they knock on the door, they open the door, right? And say, oh, great, you're here, yeah, have a seat, and then I'm busy, you know, and then walk off. That's not hosting. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So does that make sense? So you get this kind of thing, is that they'll go, but now let's say someone's come from a background with a host, and therefore somebody will be taking, it's worked out, okay, this one's cooking, this one's doing this, this one is taking care of the guests. It doesn't just happen. It's planned. It's happening. It's taken care of. Does that make sense? You know, so that's the whole thing. So the Vedas then ensure that that goes on. So it's not about facility. It's about the mentality. You know, if somebody has nothing, then I've been to places where you could probably fit most of the house into this lower area here. You know? And, you know, so it's just that, you know, they have a little grass mat and, you know, this, they sit you down and talk and, you know, so they're great hosts, but the environment it's in is very simple. And others, you go in, big, elaborate. I remember one guy, he came in, there's the guy and there's two of us. Myself and one other devotee. And, talking about, I don't know if it was what it was. Huge house. You walk in, there's this huge, as long as this building. Just, and as wide as this, Ming vases and this and that and all the things. And you go into the living room, you look out in the backyard, which is huge. And this is in Calcutta, right? You don't even know they exist, right? You just know that there's this wall there. But, behind it is this, 10-acre, 5-acre, thing, scene. And there's three of us sitting there. And he gives some juice and some sweets, I think some sandesh, mm-hmm. Right? So, it's a small amount. So juice is given in this little cup, very heavy, solid silver, right? And then the servant brings out sweets. There's this tray, huge silver tray. It's probably like 200 sandesh on it. as if we're going to, thank you. Open your bag. It's just like that. But they know how to host, like that. You won't feel, if you come out, there's four sandesh, you just, okay, give me a piece like that. There's 200, you'll take one or two.
Yes.
So that kind of thing. I asked once, what happens to the rest of them? They said they feed it to the servants. Because they're not going to eat it. But they got, 10, 15 servants, the servants take it home. Verses 12 to 48. Gaudama creates an aerial mansion. In verses 12 to 48, Maitreya tells Vidura of the wonderful and opulent arrangements Gaudama Muni makes through his mystic powers. He creates a flying palace equipped with all opulences. And they travel throughout the universe within their palace and enjoy all sights, finally returning to Bindu Sarovar. Gaudama divides himself into nine and impregnates Devahuti. Devahuti on that same day gives birth to nine charming female children. Maitreya continued, O Vidura, seeking to please his beloved wife, the sage Gaudama exercised his yogic power and instantly produced an aerial mansion that could travel at his will. Footnote 11. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, whatever Devahuti had indicated silently by her eyes, Gaudama supplied while he also remained silent. He did not give an answer. Right? She just looked and he produced a palace. Flying palace. Right? So, and the interesting thing is this is one of the elements that Kama Shastra mentions that generates a woman's satisfaction with a man or dissatisfaction. Is, does he understand hints? Does he catch subtleties? He catches subtleties, she's happy. He doesn't catch it. So we can see here. So that's why I said he himself knows the science very well. So therefore, just by he could understand everything. Because the point is these are the requirements. And so naturally those requirements aren't there. So he knows what to do. Does that make sense? So this ability to be aware, you didn't say. But the point is as we see here, according to Bhagavatam, she did say. just the guy didn't catch it. Right? But here, Gaudama, he catches it. Right? It was a wonderful structure, bedecked with all sorts of jewels, adorned with pillars of precious stones, and capable of yielding whatever one desired. Right? So it means the palace itself could give whatever you wanted. Mm-hmm. Not that. Now, you see the difference. They use it to interact. The man had such a thing that he'd just sit on the couch all day. Right? He didn't have to do anything. Just sits there and life's perfect. You don't need a palace. You only need a one room with a bathroom. Right? Don't have to make it so complicated. It was equipped with every form of furniture and wealth, which tended to increase in course of time. Right, so whatever was there, just as time went, it got more. So the variety is because in this variety, because you want to maintain a certain amount of, quality of interaction, right? That intensity. So therefore the variety, right? As we see, is they're functioning on a longer time frame, so they need more variety. We're on a shorter time frame, so we need less variety. But we do have a house that is capable of whatever you want. You know, you go into the refrigerator, open it, it yields all desires, you know, and then and it tends to increase with time, you know. After 1 year, where did all this come from? You know, so it's all happening, right? The castle was fully equipped, so now it's been called a mansion, a palace, and a castle. So you can understand it's well equipped, right? The castle was fully equipped with all necessary paraphernalia and was pleasing in all seasons, right? It's just like you have a house that's built for the winter, but in summer it's a problem, or it's built for the summer and the winter. You know, it's like you see the, you know, you go to Jaipur and these other places, the winter palace, the summer palace. Many, many kingdoms have this, you know, like that. So then the difficulty comes is that then you always have to move. I think there was one king, I think his name was Tughlaq or something. He lost a huge amount of his army and retinue because of this constantly moving back and forth. It wasn't properly arranged, so just he would lose them. They'd die and this and that, starve to death, you know, just, you know, whatever, just run off, something. But here, this palace, all seasons are taken care of. So what that means is that the one room does all of that, or they have different parts of the palace for the different seasons. You know, so that means there's six seasons, clearly, because it's not that they have a problem with, you know, in other words, the heaven plan is they don't have star television, so they don't have, the weather is still good. Right, you know? That makes sense? You know. So it would have, there'd be aspects of the house that are for each of these seasons. Mm-hmm. You know, that perfectly match that season. Yes. It was decorated all around with flags, festoons, and artistic work of variegated colors. Right? So it's something to, in other words, if the senses are being engaged, then the whole point is then that inspiration is there. So it's just a matter of the brightness, the fullness, does that make sense? Right? Because otherwise before, as we see, is if you're talking about the straw hut, it's very simple. Right? So it doesn't have a wide variety of colors. It's basically shades of brown. You know, generally what you're dealing with. You know, so this has the colors and that and then everything. So it's going to be something nice. So that's the first thing. Because you have the situation. Then you have the individuals, right? You have the time, the place, and the circumstance. So he's now developing the place. So the time has arrived, right? Means it's gone, and so the time has come. So now you need the place, and so next will be the circumstance. In other words, the patra, the individuals and the paraphernalia. That's what makes sense. It was further embellished with wreaths of charming flowers that attracted sweetly humming bees, and with tapestries of linen, silk, and various other fabrics. Right, so all these fabrics have always been around. It's not that it's a new thing. So linen's not a new thing. You know. The palace looked charming, with beds, couches, fans, and seats, all separately arranged in seven stories. Right, so that was, you know, so you can see this concept of seven. You know, and we were discussing the other day, not having more than seven floors. That's a traditional Vedic thing. Just that each floor would probably be a touch bigger. Right? Because in Vastus, as you go up, each floor should be 1/12 less. Mm-hmm. Right? So if it's, let's say the first one is 12 feet, the next one would be 11 feet, then the next one would be 1/12 of that. So, you know, you don't want to have to crawl around on your hands and knees on the top floor, you know. Or those things that they, you know, they go into the cars to fix them with, you know, so everyone's got one of those. You know, yeah. And so that means that the top floors, you know, it has a good ceiling height. So that means you can imagine what the bottom floor is like. So that's where the hall is, and, you know, these kind of things. So very great. Its beauty was enhanced by artistic engravings here and there on the walls. Right, so what? Not only did it have these nice walls and tapestries, but there were also engravings. So it wasn't just one kind of decoration. Right, so you had the inlaid marble decorations, you had the tapestries, you had just the jewels in the walls, so a variety of stuff. The floor was of emerald with coral dioceses. Right, so you have emerald floors, and then the seats that, you know, then would be coral. You know, and then on top of that, you'd have the nice mattresses and pillows. And not bad, right? You know, so that kind of green with that kind of pink, you know, very nice, you know, good. Girls are already thinking, yeah. Okay, we get a green rug and we get a coral. Okay, yeah. The palace was very beautiful with its coral thresholds at the entrances and its doors bedecked with diamonds. Right. Nowadays, if you get one on your finger, you're doing pretty good. Here it's that they just put them on the door, right? You know, and the local kids didn't come and pry them out. You know? Right. Also, coral thresholds. Right? So here we have solid thresholds, you know, so here they have coral, you know. Gold pinnacles crowned its domes of sapphire, with the choicest rubies set in its diamond walls. It appeared as though possessed of eyes. It was furnished with wonderful canopies and greatly valuable gates of gold. Because right? You have your place to sit, you have the ceiling, but then you have these nice canopies that hang also, that are very beautiful, and it creates more of a, you know, because like this, it's a little harsh. You have the canopies that it softens and makes it nice. So then you have a place to sit. You have the canopies like that. The gates, you know, to walk through of gold and everything like that. So the gates are gold. The thresholds are what is it, coral? Like that. So, nice. Here and there in the palace were the multitudes of live swans and pigeons, as well as artificial swans and pigeons, so lifelike that the real swans rose above them again and again, thinking them live birds like themselves. Right? So to have the birds, it's not that they're just flying around your house, that means you have courtyards and stuff. Because if you look at these older buildings, that if you look at it from the top, it looks outside as one big building, but it's actually a whole structure with all these courtyards and things like that. Mm-hmm. And so that's all the birds and all that, and they spend their time. You know, so there'll be big gardens and other things like that. And then you have these, because having swans is interesting, but also having, artificial swan that's so lifelike that the swans think they're real. Now that's also a feature, right? You know? So then they're always coming and trying to interact and all that. I mean, yeah. Thus, the palace vibrated with the sounds of these birds. The castle had pleasure grounds, resting chambers, bedrooms, and inner and outer yards designed with an eye to comfort. Right? So pleasure grounds means they're big. You can go walk in them. So this is a fairy. That's why then, you know, mansion is there. We understand it's a big house. Palace, then it's even bigger than that. Then it's a castle. So we understand it's quite big. All this caused astonishment to the sage himself. Right? So he's used his mystic power, but because it's the Lord's, Lord is ultimately the mystic. So you do your duties properly, then even though we did it, we're amazed by the result. That's the whole point, is that whatever you do, if you do it to please Krishna, the result will be greater than what you had anticipated. Okay.
I think that yes. Must be a shock because he was not used at all to all this thing. You know, he was living simply, Kadavamuni.
At the same time, as he's Brahma's son, right? And so Brahma's palace is, you know, even beyond this, because this we know is fixed. But Brahma's court, then you know, if you're just experiencing it, it's like it is. But if you look at it, it'll change into something else. Because now you've noticed it.
Yes.
So then it will switch into something else. Not necessarily in front of you, but the point is now it will change. So everything's constantly changing. You know, so the opulence and that that's there is great. So then for him, it's not a big deal. You know, like that. But as a sage, he'd rather live simply. It's not that, you know, he doesn't have any money, so that's why he's living in the hut. You know, poor guy, you know. It all went to his brothers, you know. Daksha got it all, you know. No, it's just... You know. Srila Prabhupada writes, that is the way of a God-gifted person. A devotee like Kardama Muni exhibited such opulence by his yogic power at the request of his wife. But when the opulence was produced, he himself could not understand how such manifestations could be possible. When a yogi's power is exhibited, the yogi himself is sometimes astonished. Because it's Krishna is the yogi. And we're just an instrument. That's the whole point. If we're an instrument, we'll always be amazed. If we're the doer, there's a good chance we'll always be disappointed, unless we're really proud of whatever we do, and it's great. You know? So that's the point, is that's what we were saying before, is that if you follow the Vedic system, you actually get more than what the materialists will get. Quote, when he saw Devahuti looking at the gigantic, opulent palace with a displeased heart, Kardama Muni could understand her feelings because he could study the heart of anyone. Thus he personally addressed his wife as follows, right? So now she has this palace, you'd think she'd be, you know, jumping up and down in ecstasy, but she's displeased.
Why is she displeased?
That will be revealed. But basically it means that, okay, let us say you have a palace like this, you know? Would you be happy to walk through it in the frock you slept in last night? Okay, yeah, that's the whole thing.
She's amazing.
Yeah, so she still looks how she looked before.
Yes.
Right? Because that's the next means. I mean, in other words, you get her looking nice, now where is she going to stand? So you make the place ready, and then you make her ready, and then she can sit in the palace. Right? Yeah.
And she needs servant.
Huh?
She needs servant.
Yeah, she needs all that. In other words, when you arrive there, the band's already playing, not when you get there, you tell them to play.
Yes.
Right. Srila Prabhupada explains, Devahuti had spent a long time in the hermitage, not taking much care of her body. She was covered with dirt, and her clothing was not very nice. Kardama Muni was surprised that he could produce such a palace, and similarly his wife, Devahuti, was also astonished. But how could she live in that opulent palace? Kardama Muni could understand her astonishment, and thus he spoke as follows, right? So that's the thing, he's sensitive to, that's what it means. He's sense control, that's why he's a powerful yogi, and he's sensitive, so that's why then she'll be satisfied. Right? Does that make sense? So, it means we mentioned about the chaste wife, but that's because he's sense controlled.
Yes.
Right? And she's satisfied because he is sensitive. Right? That's the combination. My dear Devahuti, you look very much afraid. First, bathe, you know, because she's thinking, how does this go together? Right? Because before, okay, you means you're dressed how Devahuti's dressed and look like she looks, and you're in a grass hut. Okay. But now you made a palace, now the difference is so great, now she's become afraid. How could she, you know, like that? First, bathe in Lake Bindusarovar, created by Lord Vishnu himself, which can grant all the desires of a human being. And then mount this airplane. The lotus-eyed Devahuti accepted the order of her husband. Because of her dirty dress and the locks of matted hair on her head, she did not look very attractive. Her body was coated with a thick layer of dirt, and her breasts were discolored. She dove, however, into the lake, which contained the sacred waters of the Saraswati. In a house inside the lake, she saw 1,000 girls, all in the prime of youth, and fragrant like lotuses. Right, so in other words, you're going to be taken care of. You want also girls that are going to be nice.
Yes.
You know, you don't want them to be, you know, how you say, have crooked teeth and stink mad, you know, and not shave their armpits, right? You know, so, so that's the whole point. Seeing her, the damsel suddenly rose and said with full, because otherwise she's coming in and she doesn't look like they look, you know, or smell like they smell. So she could feel bad. They're all sitting, but as soon as she comes, they all rise in respect. So now that means such opulence that they have is there at her service. So now she won't feel bad.
Yes.
You know, it's not like she walks in and then one of the girls like, is this the one? Yeah, so you don't get that kind of stuff. Yeah. And said with folded hands, we are your maidservants. Tell us what we can do for you. The girls, being very respectful to Devahuti, brought her forth, and after bathing her with valuable oils and ointments, they gave her fine new spotless cloth to cover her body. Right, because when you have dirt, one of the main ways to get rid of dirt is oil. It may not be understood, but the point is the skin works on oil. Right? The pores produce oil. So that means if there's dirt, that means there's not much oil. So the dirt gets into the spot where the oil goes. Right? The pore produces oil. Right?
Yes.
So if there's dirt in there, that means there's no oil in there. Right?
Yes.
So if you put oil,
yes.
Because when you have oil, in, then the oil will go in, the dirt will come out. Right? Then you take the bath, then you become clean. You know what I'm saying? That's the technique. Right? And then you use unguents to scrub and all that, so that gets rid of it.
Any type of oil?
Huh?
Any type of oil?
Any type of work. Depends upon your environment and that. I mean, for us, generally, like mustard oil, sesame oil, like these are your standard. Mustard oil you can always use. Sesame oil, there's times you use it and don't use it. Like that. This rules. But otherwise, you'd be, you know, probably proper fragrant oils.
Yes.
You know, and since he's young, there's a good chance his jasmine is used and stuff like that. Jasmine oil. Jasmine is used a lot for younger girls. Then they decorated her with very excellent. So, men, in other words, she was clean.
Yes.
Otherwise, why give the nice clothes, right? Mm-hmm. Then they decorated her with very excellent and valuable jewels, which shone brightly. Next, they offered her food containing all good qualities and a sweet, inebriating drink called asavam. Asavam. Yeah, excuse me. Asavam. Because then it's, you know, all this is going on. It's not that you don't eat in the process.
Yes.
You know, the guy's going to a gym, there is nothing to eat.
Yes.
But, you know, girls going to a spa, there are things to eat. You know, it's just, it's different. You know, it's more holistic. The guys are just thinking about this muscle here, or something like that. The girl's thinking about the complete girl. Right? You know, so, therefore, there's something to eat.
Right.
Then in a mirror, she beheld her own reflection. Her body was completely free from all dirt, and she was adorned with a garland, dressed in unsullied robes, and decorated with auspicious marks of tilak. She was served very respectfully by the maids. Her entire body, including her head, was completely bathed, and she was decorated all over with ornaments. Right, so her head was bathed, that means it's a complete bath.
Yes.
Like that. And we know from before, hair was matted, that means they took out the mats. Like that. So they must have been good.
And she was decorated all over with ornaments. She wore a special necklace with a locket. There were bangles on her wrists and the tinkling anklets of gold about her ankles. About her hips, she wore a girdle of gold set with numerous jewels. And she was further adorned with a precious pearl necklace and auspicious substances. Her countenance shone with beautiful teeth and charming eyebrows.
Right, so countenance to show means that must be, you know, one is very clean, but also then inspired. Because otherwise, then the continent's not going to shine. It's going to be dark. Right? Mm-hmm. Beautiful tea. So it means that's been all cleaned nicely. Right? So if you use like neem twigs, it makes your teeth amazingly white. Like pearl white. Just by using that. You don't have to use anything else. So. Okay. And charming eyebrows, right? Her eyes, distinguished by lovely moist corners, defeated the beauty of lotus buds. Right, so that means that Zapaya, that the corners are always moist. Right, her eyes didn't look dry. So that's the quality of attractive feature. So that means is that you can see underlying she had all beauty is there, but it's enhanced. Right, it's going to be done nicely and brought out because that's what is there. Is the feminine nature is already attractive. And then you do these things like, proper bathing and dressing and ornamenting and the hair and all these things. Then it adds to the femininity. Right? Does that make sense? But the femininity is already there. Then there's something to work with. Like the girl's not very feminine, harder to work with something. Like that. Her face was surrounded by dark curling tresses. When she thought of her great husband, the best of the sages, Kardama Muni, who was very dear to her, she, along with all the maidservants, at once appeared where he was. Right? She's not going to think of him until she's ready.
Yes.
Because the focus is on getting ready. But once she's ready, so that means if she thought of him, means she's satisfied that she's ready.
Yes.
So how beautiful she could be, that has been accomplished. So now she'll think of the husband.
Yes.
Right? And having done that, then automatically they're just all transported to where he is. Because otherwise all this happened underwater. Like that. She was amazed to find herself surrounded by 1,000 maids in the presence of her husband. And to witness his yogic power. Okay, so one thing, there were all these, 1,000 maids under the water in a palace under the water. It's another thing that now suddenly she and the maids, so that means they're going to remain. It wasn't that they were just there for the spa treatment. That's over. They give you all that care, taking care of your toes and nails, and then after that, you're on your own. No, it's that they all go along with. Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur comments, his power of yoga was that without even using her feet, she came from the water. Seeing the power of his yoga, she was surprised, thinking, how amazing this is. Right? So now he's using it to make it nicer. She doesn't have to walk all the way. Right? Just thinking that she's there. Right? Just like the palace, just by thinking it goes to wherever you want it to go. Hmm? No, that's good. Not that. Yeah. The sage could see that Devahuti had washed herself clean and was shining forth as though no longer his former wife. She had regained her own original beauty as the daughter of a prince. Right? So how she came. In other words, at their wedding, what she was like, she's regained that, not how she was just before this. Right? Dressed in excellent robes, her charming breasts duly girded, she was waited upon by 1,000 Gandharva girls. So these aren't even just regular girls, these are Gandharva girls. Right? So they're very expert in all these things. Very beautiful themselves and all that. So, and there's not a problem because they're from higher than this. Right? So then the Gandharvas, then they're going to be, they're juniors. So there's not going to be a problem that they're more beautiful than her, she gets jealous. But the point is they're Gandharvas. Okay. She was waited on by 1,000 Gandharva girls. O destroyer of the enemy, his fondness for her grew, right? So that was her point.
Yes.
Because he was appreciating her duties as a wife, that it was perfect and all that, and he wanted to give her the blessing. The main thing was Krishna consciousness, but at the same time is the husband and wife to have children.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so, therefore, to fulfill it, now his attraction, fondness is growing. That was her point.
Yes.
Right? So that's what the Kama Shastra is describing, how that attraction will be there. And he placed her on the aerial mansion. Though seemingly attached to his beloved consort, while served by the Gandharva girls, the sage did not lose his glory, which was mastery over itself. Right? Because the point is you want to have children, then this is your process. So it's not that you have to lose Krishna consciousness for this. Because we take it, oh, there's Krishna consciousness, and then there's using the senses. No, Krishna consciousness is the full use of the senses. Then there's full use of the senses without Krishna consciousness. That's the material. So we're taking it that if I use the senses, that's material, and only in an extremely restricted way I use the senses, and even that begrudgingly, then that's Krishna consciousness. So that's not, it doesn't work out so good.
Alright. This is called mixed devotional service.
Which this?
No, not this, but what we practice.
Yes, generally. So, but if we understand, so in other words, it can be done very nicely, you know, very gloriously, but at the same time, be done on the platform of, you know, advanced Krishna consciousness. Like that. So it's not that the two don't go together, but you have to see that it's why I'm doing this because the Shastra. That's what I was mentioning, you know, the first part of the class is that we go through and there may be little tidbits here and there that devotees will catch. Oh, I like this. Like someone reads Kamasha. Oh, I like this. I like that. But the point is it's not about the Shastra. It's about I like it. That's why it's good. It's not that Shastra says it. That's why I'm doing it. I'm doing this just because I like it. What parts I like, I take. What parts I don't like, I leave. So that's not going to give the same effect. But when it's that I'm doing this because this is what Shastra recommends, then you get all the benefits and don't get entangled. So that's the... But that's you're balancing two opposing, seemingly opposing elements. So the only way you can do that is Krishna. Because Krishna has the Achintya Shakti, where all these opposing elements are all perfectly reconciled. But so he's there with the Gandharva girl, so they take care of everything. They're her maidservants. Mm-hmm. Right? He's provided them, and now Devahuti will engage them to take care. Does that make sense? He provides the maidservants, she engages them. He provides the house, she engages them. Right? You know, that's the thing. He gives the sari, she wears it and utilizes it. You know, that's the whole, that's how the... In the aerial mansion, Kardama Muni with his consort shone as charmingly as the moon in the midst of the stars in the sky, which causes rows of lilies to open in ponds at night. Right, so now like the moon, rather than just like stars, she's a moon. Right? You know, nowadays, big celebrity is a star. Yes. In the Vedic sense, is a big celebrity is a moon. So, yeah. And now you notice that she's referred to as consort. Right? Because the flavor is different. So that term then brings out that aspect. Mm-hmm. In that aerial mansion, he traveled to the pleasure valleys of Mount Meru, which were rendered all the more beautiful by cool, gentle, fragrant breezes that stimulated passion. Right, so these great sages go there because it's a nice, ideal place to meditate because there's no disturbances. Because the senses are in control, they can be there and be in that perfect place and just continue their meditation. Right? But the Gandharvas and you know, demigods, they come there to enjoy themselves. Yes. Just like when Prabhupada saw Hawaii, he said, this is a place for yogis. But what is it famous for? Tourists and sense gratification. Right? In other words, these nice facilities are actually for being Krishna conscious. And the senses are taken care of automatically. Is that, yeah. In these valleys, the treasure of the gods, Kuvera, surrounded by beautiful women and praised by the siddhas, generally enjoys pleasure. Right? And Kuvera is, you know, he's got all the money, so it's not that he has to, you know, put up in cheap motels, you know. he's doing okay. Kardama Muni also, surrounded by the beautiful damsels and his wife, went there and enjoyed for many, many years. Right? So you have the element, because otherwise, if they show up there without some facilities, all these guys will be making comments. So you show up in a flying, shine, you know, mansion like that, nobody's saying anything, you know. And he's got his ladies, but it's not 1,000 maid servants. You know, he may have back in the palace, but he moved back here is 1,000. You know, because when you move around, it's hard to take 1,000 with you. He moves around, he takes all 1,000 with him. So. People are definitely going to make, no one's going to make comments, right? You know. Satisfied by his wife, he enjoyed in that aerial mansion, not only on Mount Meru, but in different gardens known as Vaishrambaka, Surasana, Nandana, Pushpabhadraka, and Chaitaratya, and by the Manasarova Lake. He traveled in that way through the various planets, as the air passes uncontrolled in every direction. Right? So there was nothing to restrict, because sometimes you see as yogis go, they have to go certain paths, or the different demigods, they can go in different areas. He can move however he pleased, like that. So it's great, you know, great to position, because otherwise everybody has their levels of where they go, like that. But, you know, being from Brahmaloka, then they can function how they like. Yes.
Yes, this enjoyment is with interaction with the nature. With
the nature, his wife, it's just, you know, enjoying the nice place, yeah. And then sitting, talking, eating, yeah. You know, like that. Because you can see is the actual conception is at the very end of all this. So it's not that they're just engaged in sense gratification. Yes. So here the senses, it's just they're creating a very nice atmosphere to generate enough passion. So that the conception will go properly.
Yes.
Right?
Because here it is mentioned there is no sex life.
Yes, so there's no lust.
No lust, yes.
So it's not that you just do a little bit and then when the lust comes up, yes. Then it just gets deviated, yes. From there. Right? So it's like you have the nice meal, next thing the meal's on the floor, right? You know, so we're not talking about this, you know, we're talking about it goes through all this, and then when it's time for that, then it has its place. Right? So everything works very nicely, right?
It's really goodness.
Yeah, that's the whole point, is that so much enjoyment is there in the mode of goodness, but we think it's only there in passion and ignorance. Like that. Other sense. You know, we're more worried about, you know, the arrangements for the meeting than we are for, let's say, nice incense or oils for the deities.
Yes.
You understand? So that's the whole thing, is that you just, and what do you get from it? You know, you get very minimal from one, and from the other, then there's so much more.
Coursing through the air in that great and splendid aerial mansion, which could fly at his will, he surpassed even the demigods. What is difficult to achieve for determined men who have taken refuge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's lotus feet?
Right? So there's nothing that can't be obtained if one surrendered to the Lord. Right? Because everything is the Lord, so then why can't it be obtained? But it's only obtained because it's in connection with the Lord. Should the Prophet emphasize in the purport to verse 42,
Kardama Muni is special not because he was a great mystic, but because he was a great devotee. That's why I appreciate the British punctuation. They there's no fear of putting in more commas. Right? Therefore, it is said here that for a great devotee, like Kardama Muni, nothing is impossible, right? So it's not that the mystic is why it's all going on. It's because he's a devotee.
And so as a devotee, his medium of engagement is mystic. So then it comes in that form. But it's not because he's a mystic he's doing all this. Because otherwise, there's so many other mystics, you never hear about anybody else doing this. Although yogis can perform wonderful feats, as Kardama has already displayed, Kardama is more than a yogi because he was a great devotee of the Lord. Therefore, he was more glorious than an ordinary yogi. As is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, quote, out of many yogis, he was a devotee of the Lord in his first class. So that's your best of yogis. His feet are the source of the sacred rivers like the Ganges, would put an end to the dangers of mundane life. Right. So if mundane life is gotten rid of just by the water that's washed the Lord's feet, so that focus and determination of connecting to the Lord, why that shouldn't work out good? Right. So that's the whole thing. Everything will be nice because of that. After showing his wife the globe of the universe and its different arrangements, full of many wonders, the great yogi Kardama returned to his own hermitage. Right? So the globe of the universe, right? So it is a globe, but we're looking at it from the inside.
Yes.
Right? You know, because yes. Sometimes they think, well, the earth is hollow. No, the universe is hollow. Okay, so we'll stop here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki,
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki,
Jai
Jainatai Gaur Premanandi.